This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.
Going to preach a message entitled, Grace Still Runs. Grace Still Runs. And we're going to talk about grace this morning, the grace of God and how good our God is, and kind of some of the things that grace allows us to do in our lives. And, you know, really what we want from the Word of God is to know Jesus better, to grow in intimacy with God in our personal relationship, and then also how to get the Word of God to work in our everyday lives. It's so different than just coming to church and hearing a message and getting inspired for a moment. I want all of us to be able to work the Word of God every day so we can see the promises of God show up in our lives. Somebody say amen. All right, so excited about that. So we're going to, if you'll open your Bible to Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to read two verses there together. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, and then we'll get right into the message this morning. And verse 7 reads this way, that in the ages to come, Jesus might show the exceeding riches of his grace. Someone say grace. His grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Verse 8, for by grace, someone say grace, for by grace you have been saved through faith. Notice that, by grace through faith. That's going to be key, the whole service. By grace through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Is anybody grateful that we are saved by grace and it is the gift of God? Amen. So it is by grace and it is through faith. All right. And so I want to pray and we'll get right into it this morning. Father, we thank you for who you are. God, we thank you for your presence that is already so evident in this place. God, we thank you for what you did in first service. And now, Father, I thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that you would speak through me, Father, to each and every person. God, we thank you for the hearers that we will not just be hearers of the word, but that by your grace we will be doers of your word. Holy Spirit, I thank you that your anointing destroys every yoke of bondage, whether it be depression, whether it be addiction, whether that be anxiety, sadness, dismay, troubles, problems, whatever's going on. I thank you, Jesus, that your anointing still destroys every yoke and removes every burden. Father, we declare that however people came in, that they will leave this place changed by your glory. God, if people came in sick, we declare by faith that they'll leave healed in Jesus' name. If people came in addicted, that by faith we declare they'll leave free in the name of Jesus. He that the Son sets free is free indeed. And so, Father, we thank you if they came in depressed, that they'll leave out of here delivered and free and happy. Hallelujah. God, we declare the joy of the Lord is our strength. And God, we give you praise that by your grace we will leave this place looking and living more like Jesus. Come on, if you believe it, somebody say amen. 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 All right. So excited about the message this morning. I want to give you the definition of grace. Here is the definition of grace. God's grace is God's unmerited, undeserved, and unearned kindness and favor toward you. We'll say that one more time. Grace is unmerited and undeserved. You and I did not deserve God's grace, but he gave it to us anyway. Right. God's grace, it's undeserved and it's unearned. You and I could not earn the good things that God has done for us and in our lives. It is unmerited, undeserved, unearned kindness and favor toward you. You know, the Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. So what we must realize, church, is that every good thing that has happened in our lives has been a result of the grace of God in our lives. So the fact that you have clothes on your back right now, that's a result of the grace of God. Okay, we're going somewhere. The fact that you can reason and think intellectual, intelligible thoughts is a result of the grace of God upon your life. The fact that you have shelter over your head and you've got a place to sleep at night is the result of the grace of God upon your life. Amen. The fact that you know how to tie your shoes is the result of the grace of God upon your life. You ever hear those people talk about, I'm a self-made man? I think to myself, no, you're a self-deceived man. Because you may not know it, but every good and perfect gift or grace came from God to you freely because he had favor upon you. Oh, come on, somebody. So your ability to reason, your ability to conversate, that charisma that some of you have, that ability, that grace for numbers, that grace for business, that grace for commerce, the ability to make money, the ability to create business, the ability to move up in the ranks in whatever career that you have, that intellect that you have, that is not a result of genetics. That is a result of grace. Hallelujah. And scientifically, I understand the stream of genetics, but genetics, the positive ones, are the result of the grace of Almighty God. Amen. So every good thing in your life is a result of God's grace, not a result of you being hashtag on your grind, hashtag making moves in private. Come on, somebody. Hashtag making moves, not excuses. No. No, it doesn't have anything to do with any of that. Any good thing that's come into your life is a result of the grace of Almighty God. Somebody talk about, well, I deserved it. I worked it. I'm a self-made man. No, let me tell you, according to the Bible, what you and I deserve. Because the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. You go help me in here this morning, right? That the wages of sin is death, and that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death, then what you and I deserve is a short, miserable, tormented life, and then to go to hell and be eternally damned. Y'all ain't saying much. But to be eternally damned because everybody in this place, everybody on planet Earth has sinned. So that's what you and I deserve, and that's what you and I could do on our own. We could be born, live tormented, and go to hell and suffer for the rest of our lives. That's what we deserve. But great. See, y'all think, oh, no, I'm a good person. I'm a pretty good person. You're pretty bad. Without grace on your life, without God's word in your life, without the Spirit of God on your life, without being made a new creation in Christ Jesus, you're pretty jacked up. And your family knows it, and you know it, and you are deceived to think, I'm pretty good. The Bible says your righteousness is as filthy rags. Before Jesus, without Jesus, you're pretty bad. And so we deserve to be born, to be tormented, and go to hell because we were wickedly sinful. But 2,000 years ago, Jesus got on a cross that he did not earn, paid a debt that he did not owe, on the third day rose with all power in his hand, and now we've been seated at the right hand of God. We've been made the righteousness of God. Why? Because grace showed up for you. Someone say grace. This is the goodness of our God. The grace of God. Every good. This makes me want to shout, y'all. If it had not been for the Lord that was on my side, where in the world would I be? I wouldn't have clothes to wear. I wouldn't have money in my bank account. I wouldn't be able to reason. I would be jacked up. I would be addicted. I would be 6 feet under, maybe. But because God had grace on me, I feel like singing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. He saved a wretch just like me. Can anybody give God a shout? Because His grace found you and brought you from a mighty long way. Yes, sir. Amazing grace. Yeah. Grace will divinely empower you to do what you could never do without it. Right. Talking about the grace of God, that God's grace will divinely empower you to do what you could never do without it. Marriage difficulties, you couldn't get through that without, oh, come on, somebody. You couldn't get through those marriage difficulties without grace. You couldn't do it, but you can go to grace. You can go to God, and he'll give you grace to overcome those marriage difficulties. Because grace empowers us to do what we could never do on our own. Those financial pressures, those hard times, depression, addiction, we could not get through it on our own. But we can go to God, and God gives us grace, and it empowers us to overcome whatever it is we're facing. Somebody say grace. Grace. I love this. If you're taking notes, write this down. Grace is God's love in action. Grace is God's love for you in action. God loves you. And so because he loves you, he gives grace for you to do what he's called you to do, what he's assigned you to do, and what you could never accomplish on your own. Yeah. You don't mature from grace in the Christian life. Yeah. you mature in grace. I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to stick with it because I believe this is going to help us so much. We are to grow in grace. 2 Peter 3:18, the Bible says, grow in grace. We are to be growing in grace. I don't know about y'all, but the Bible shows me this, that if you have enough grace, you can overcome anything. Okay, if you have enough grace, you can overcome anything and you can accomplish anything. Can I prove it to you? Okay, Moses, the Bible says, first of all, the Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty. I feel a teaching thing coming here, but then we're going to move into some preaching. Come on, somebody. Are you glad to be in church? All right. So the Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. But the Bible says that God gives more grace to the humble. Come on, this is what it says in the book of James. He gives more. Someone say more. See, the reason why maybe life isn't easier than it is right now is because we have not been asking the right question. God, how do I grow in your grace? Because the Bible says he gives more grace to the humble, but he opposes the proud. So pride gets God's opposition. With all the stuff going on in my life, I don't need God opposing me. I need God giving me grace. So humility gives me more grace. Pride gives me God's opposition. So the Bible tells me there, this is why the Christian people that are successful in life, in business, in finances, in marriage, in the kingdom, they're making impact for the kingdom of God. They are simply people who have learned how to grow in the grace of God. Hey, someone say amen. I know religious people don't like this because religious people think they're good enough without God's grace. Religious people think, as long as I know how to say Yeshua HaMashiach, I'm going to call Jesus by his Hebrew name that even the disciples didn't call him by. But, you know, I heard that. I don't know a lick of Hebrew, but I'm going to say Yeshua instead of Jesus. You know those people that as long as they feel more spiritual than you, they don't want to hear about grace. But the Bible tells us that person and you and me, we all need grace exactly the same way. Okay? So this is incredible that the people that are incredibly successful, powerful, anointed, make an impact for the kingdom of God, they've simply learned how to grow in the grace of God. Moses, the Bible says, was the meekest man in his generation. Isn't that what the Bible says? Bible says, for those of you that don't know, that's why you need to read your Bible. Amen. Hashtag every day, get some word. Amen. Right. So that's why you need to download Celebration Church Salinas app so you can get our podcast and rate it and subscribe to it. Amen. Give us more impact in that realm. I believe that we should be impacting in every arena. Amen. And so anyways, so he was the meekest man in his generation. He was the most humble man in his generation. And he was the mightiest used man in his generation. God used no man greater than he used Moses. And the Bible says he was the meekest man. So the more humble that he was, because he was humble, God used him to a greater degree. So why? Because he was humble, he had greater grace. So the greater grace that you walk in means that's how much greater God can use your life. Okay, so with that being said, because you're so excited about this, we're going to keep on moving. The first service was a whole lot better than you so far. Get with it. Amen. Amen. All right, so let me just say this. You can't do anything successfully or powerfully without the grace of God upon your life. You wouldn't know how to tie your shoes without the grace of God. Unsaved people don't understand this. We do. We understand that it's only by God's grace that we prosper, that we have success, that we see God do amazing things within our life. I love this. Romans chapter 12 and verse 6 says this. Having then gifts according to the grace that is given to us. Romans chapter 12 and verse 6, it says, having then gifts, there it is, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Let us use them. So notice everybody has graces given to them. You and I have been given graces. All of us have graces given to us when we're born. And then when we get saved, we have more graces added to us when we're saved. And then when we get baptized in the Holy Spirit, we have more graces added to us then. And so we can all grow together in grace. Let me say it like this. If you learn to grow in grace, you're going to be better at everything you do in life. This is why it's important for us to know it, live in it, walk in it. If you believe it, somebody say amen. I love this. Let me give you the opposite of the truth before I give you the truth. We do not come timidly to the throne of performance. This is why most of us don't come to God, because we think it's a throne of performance. I got to perform better before I can come to God. Oh, come on, somebody. I didn't pray the way I thought I should have this week. I didn't read the way I thought I should have this week. I haven't been praising, haven't been witnessing enough. So I'm not going to come to God, because we still view it as a throne of performance. This is why Christians stop receiving grace. Oh, Jesus. I promise you, you stick with me for the next 10, 15 minutes. God's about to light this place on fire. Amen? Amen. Anybody ready for that? Shout yes. Okay, good. That was like maybe 60%. Come on, if you're ready, shout yes. There we go. That was kind of better, but we'll get there. All right, so listen to this. What was I saying? Performance. Yes. Okay. All right, so performance Christians think, I got to be better before I can go to God to get better. God is good as long as I'm good. But we the Bible's true. God is good no matter whether you're good or not. Okay, so it's not a throne of performance. Here's the Bible doesn't say, I come timidly to the throne of performance, or I come fearfully to the throne of works. But if we're honest, we're trying to do enough good works to get God's favor upon our lives. And that's why most of us don't go to his throne, because we think, I don't have enough good works to go to God. Why would he listen to me? Because we don't have a revelation of grace. We have a revelation of works. That's the old law, but that's the Old Testament. There's now a New Testament. Establish upon better promises. So we don't come timidly to the throne of performance. We don't come fearfully to the throne of works. We come boldly to the throne of grace. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Somebody say amen. Colossians 2:6, now just as you accepted Christ Jesus, past tense, you must continue to follow Christ Jesus. So how did you receive Christ Jesus? By grace through faith. By grace through faith. How are you going to walk? How are you going to follow Jesus from now on? By grace through faith. How are you going to see the marriage reconciled? By grace through faith. How are you going to see victory in your finances? By grace through faith. How's your mind going to get better? By grace, through faith. How's your kids going to stop acting cray-cray? By grace, through faith. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Listen to this, man. Christianity isn't for good people. It's for dead people. Because we were dead in sins, but God raised us back to life. Somebody say amen. I love this. Avon and Braylon, we're talking about the grace of God. Avon and Braylon, when they were younger, they would help me with yard work or maybe vacuuming or whatever. They were so little that I would be vacuuming. I like to say it like this. Let me give you a picture of this. Grace is God holding our hand, right? And so you ever go to an amusement park with your children, somewhere like that? You go to Disneyland, the most miserable place on earth. No, I'm just kidding. It's the happiest place on earth, and so it's an amazing place, and we love taking our kids there because they love it, and we kind of get to see their excitement, so it's always fun. But we take our when they were younger, I took Braylon's hand or Avon's hand. I took sole responsibility and complete responsibility for their well-being. I'm holding their hand, making sure they're not walking into the trolley lane, that they're not walking up under those horses and they get trampled, that they're not jumping in the water that looks so inviting, that's fenced off. Come on, somebody, right? Don't want to get kicked out of the happiest place on earth. Hashtag preacher gets kicked out. Hashtag what church he go to. Come on, somebody, right? Right? So we don't want that. We don't want none of those headlines. So but I have complete responsibility for his well-being and his safety. I'm not going to let him go into the store and get lost because I got a hold on him. So grace is God's hold on us. Faith is our hold on God. And what I have found out is that when my faith has faltered, his grace still has a hold of me. Somebody say amen. Grace and faith. And so I'll be vacuuming, right? I'd be vacuuming, and when they were little, they came up and say, "Daddy, I want to do it." And so they put their hand on the vacuum, right? And so while I'm vacuuming, their hand is on the vacuum, and we're doing it together. And then we would get done, even though I'm doing all the heavy lifting. We would get done, start to wrap that cord up, and they say, "Daddy, look, I did it." And I said, "That's right, baby, you did an amazing job. Even though I did all the heavy lifting, by my grace, I still gave them the reward." Oh, Jesus. It's the same way for us. Daddy, we got the new house. Daddy, we got the new job. Daddy, our marriage is doing better. Daddy, I'm free from the addiction. And Daddy says, "That's right, baby, you did a good job." But he had his hand on the vacuum the whole time. I feel like prophesying to somebody, don't you dare give up. Don't you dare throw in the towel, because I got my hand on the vacuum the whole time. That marriage isn't going to fail. I got my hand on the vacuum. Your kids are going to come back to Jesus. I got my hand on the vacuum. Is anybody grateful that he's got his hand on the vacuum? Come on, if you're grateful, give him about 5 seconds of praise in here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, when we took our hands off, he still kept hold of us. Somebody shout amen. Hallelujah. I love this. You know, I was talking about my wife. You know, Paul said, "By the grace of God, I am who I am. By the grace of God, I am who I am." And so grace will help you become what God wants you to become. And so I was talking about my wife in the first service. I said, you know, back in the day, if you dated the beautiful one, right, you dated the hot one, right, you date her, and she was beautiful, but not a lot else. Conversation was kind of difficult. You could tell. This chick made it on her looks. Come on, somebody, right? Right. Right, I'm not being mean. I'm just being real. Amen. All right. So I'm just using a stereotype that a lot of us can relate to. So you do that, and it's like, oh, okay. Well, conversation wasn't real rich, and okay, praise the Lord, that's the last date with her. And then you date someone who's maybe facially challenged or hashtag ugly. No, come on, somebody. I'm just trying to get the lemons off your face. Come on, somebody. Right? But you date somebody that maybe doesn't look like that one, but they're incredibly insightful and intellectual. And, man, the conversation is rich and it's awesome. And so that's good. But even still, because there's intellect, they're not maybe going to do much cleaning or cooking at home. And so I'm like, well, I don't know. You know, I don't know. So, amen, God loves me. Amen. God loves him some Jason. Amen. Don't hate, man. Come on, man. God loves him. So, Jay, I not only got the beautiful one, I got the intellectual one, I got the compassionate one, and the one who makes amazing meals. Come on, somebody. I'm living your dream. Hallelujah. No, come on, somebody. I'm totally just kidding. But my wife is incredible. It's like living with Jesus. Seriously, she loves the Lord. She prays. She's anointed. It's incredible. It's like, you know, I feel kind of like Jesus' younger brother, James. You know what I mean? Like, I live every day with someone who's better than me. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, hashtag preacher problems. But anyway, I wake up. You know, can you imagine being Jesus' younger brother, James? Right? Like James comes home, like, "Mama, look, I got a B+ on algebra." And like Jesus is over there, like turning water into wine. It's like, "That's great, baby. That's great. Look at what Jesus is doing," right? Like, anyway, Marsha, right? Like, right? But anyway, I digress. So, but my wife is incredible, and my boys are at the age now where we kind of have to make them eat family meals. It's not like their most favorite thing to do. And so, but we eat family meals sometimes together, and Liz will make this incredible meal, and we'll go put it on the table, and so they won't always sit at the table and kind of do what we want them to do. So we do what geniuses do. We turn the TV on America's Funniest Home Videos. Amen. Amen. And so we watch people do hilarious things, and we have discussion about that, and we have good times about that. And then Ava will say, "Hey, Mom, remember when I did this?" And Braylon will say, "Hey, Mom." And he'll say something completely unrelated just to try to get in the conversation. occasion. You know what I mean? Like he just wants to know, I can be heard too at this table, right? And so we're doing this. We're having this incredibly, incredible family thing and this family meal. And Liz prepared the meal. She set the table. And then me and the boys, we sit down at the table and we just eat like good boys should. Amen? And so what does that have to do with the message? Here's what it has to do with the message. Grace sets the table. Faith eats. The Bible says he prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. And on that table is salvation. On that table is healing. On that table is deliverance. On that table is peace. On that table is restoration. All we got to do is by faith sit down. I just got to sit down at my seat. The devil says you're not worthy. Say shut up. By grace through faith. The devil says you're never going to be prosperous. Shut up, devil. By grace through faith. The devil says your family's never going to make it. Say shut up, devil. By grace. Somebody say amen. Amen. You know, I remember this, that in the book of Hebrews, that there was high priests, and they would minister in the presence of God. They would minister in the temple of God. In the Old Testament, the Bible says they ministered daily. Ministered daily. They would bring in the sacrifices of bulls and goats and lambs and really blood offerings and all these sacrifices. And the Bible says they were making what the Bible said atonement or covering for the sins of the people. The Bible says they stood. Everyone say stood. They stood daily ministering. They had to do it over and over and over. But in the book of Hebrews, the Bible says that we have a new high priest. And his name is Jesus. And the Bible says that he entered the holiest of holies one time, once for all. Hallelujah. They stood daily ministering. Jesus entered once for all. And the Bible says he sat down. You know why he sat down? Because after he went in, the job was finished. Hallelujah. Every sin, every stain on you, every sin on you, every iniquity on you, every one of your past mistakes, when Jesus went into the holiest of holies, put his blood on the mercy seat, he sat down once for all, because as soon as he did it, it was finished. Oh, that's good news. Why? 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 Listen, grace paid your penalty and sat down once for all, paid the penalty for you. Why? Why? Because you did anything to deserve it? No, just because he chose to have grace on you. Come on, somebody say amen. All right, here we go. Here's kind of where the title comes in. Grace still runs. Luke chapter 15, we find the story of the prodigal son. And the prodigal son, he left his father's house. He left the provision. He left everything that he had. And the Bible says that he requested his inheritance. He said, Dad, I want my inheritance before you leave. How many of you know that's a pretty big slap in the face to a loving father? Before you even die, I want what you worked for me. Give it to me early. Come on, somebody. Right? This is a picture of you and I living our lives many times. God, I want what you have for me, but I don't want to do it under your lordship. I want to go do it my way. And so this is a picture of us. And so he said, I want my inheritance. And the Bible says that he journeyed to a far country and he wasted his inheritance, the Bible says, with harlots and prodigal living or riotous living or wild living. Or in today's culture, he turned up. Come on, somebody, right? Like, I thought more of you would know what that meant. But anyway, he turned up in an ungodly way, and the Bible says that he wasted everything that he had. And so the Bible says that there's a severe famine. The Bible says he spent everything that he had. All of his friends that were with him when he had money left him. He's alone. A severe famine in the land arose. He finds himself eating now with the pigs. Can you imagine this son who was wealthy, raised in wealth and security and protection and honor and esteem? He finds himself now eating with the pigs. And this is what he said. He said, what am I doing here? He came to himself. He said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough food to survive on and thrive on? And so he says, I will arise and go to my father's house. And the Bible says that, I love what the Bible says here. It says that while he was still a great way off, not even close to where he needed to be. Come on, somebody. Not even close to where he should be. But the Father still had love for him, still saw him coming. In other words, the Bible paints the picture. You remember, if you have teenagers, I remember I would go out when I was 17, 18 years old, and many times I would come in at 12, 1 o'clock at night, and I'd find my mom or my dad sitting in the dark on the couch praying for me. Because when the kids that you love leave, there's something about it that's uneasy until they return home. And the Bible paints this picture of a loving Heavenly Father pacing the floor of his house, looking down the road, waiting for the day when the son who was lost would come back down that road and come back into the embrace of being home. Hallelujah. And this is how our Father looks at us. When in our worst moments, he's not looking at us through eyes of judgment. He's looking at us saying, I can't wait till they come back home because I've got the good things for them. And the Bible says that the father ran. This was dishonorable for a father to run. This wasn't done in that culture. It was dishonorable. It was actually disgusting. It was almost immoral in a sense. Like nobody was going to do that. But the father picked up what he had on and he ran to the son that was lost, because the father was telling you and me, I don't care what I look like. All I care is for your well-being. Hallelujah. And so the Bible says that he ran to him and he fell on him. He fell on him. He began to love on him and kiss him. And when I saw that, the Bible said that the father ran to meet the son. Here's what God said to me. He says, you tell the people that grace still runs to love them. Grace still runs to meet them. Grace still runs to save them. Grace still runs to restore them. Grace still runs to love them. Grace still runs. Listen, and it wasn't in his best moment that grace ran to meet him. It was in his worst moment that grace ran to meet him. Is anybody grateful that in our worst moments that grace has still run to meet us? Whew, whew. I love this. I was reading this and God began to talk to me about what the Father gave the Son. The first thing that the Father or grace gave the Son is that grace gave the Son a new robe, and that robe speaks of identity. The identity that he had before was one of a prodigal, one of an addict, one of a harlot. He had this identity that he lost who he was. And the Bible says that grace came and put a brand new robe. See, robes back in that day communicated wealth. Whatever robe you had on communicated poverty or wealth or prestige or royalty, right? If you were a beggar and you were sick, you wore a robe that communicated that you were sick. So the first thing that grace did when the son came back home is grace gave him a brand new robe. Grace gave him a brand new identity. Son, here's who you are now. You're no longer the addict. You're no longer messed up. You're no longer what you did in your past. Come on, you've heard T.D. Jakes say this. You may have did what they say that you did, but you are not who they say that you are. Come on, somebody. There's a brand new identity, and here's your new identity. You're a son of God. You're forgiven. You are saved. You are righteous. Now you have a brand new identity. Aren't you glad that grace didn't leave you with a jacked up identity, but gave you a brand new identity? Hallelujah. Come on, I feel like preaching the gospel. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become brand new. Gave him a brand new robe. The second thing that grace gave him was a ring. And the ring speaks of authority. The ring, if you had a ring that carried the signet of the house, you had authority in that house. And grace ran to you and has given you authority in the name of Jesus. You have the name of Jesus. Now you have authority over sickness. You have authority over disease. You have authority over depression. You have authority over addiction. You've been given authority in the name of Jesus. Grace has given you authority. Come on, if you're glad about it, somebody say amen. The next thing grace ran to the son and gave him was sandals. And sandals speak of new direction. Hallelujah. Grace ran to the son and said, son, I know you've been lost for a long time, but I'm going to put new sandals on your feet. I'm going to give you a new direction for your life. I'm going to give you a direction full of destiny and full of purpose and full of my love and full of my grace. Come on, anybody grateful for new direction in your life? Grace gave us new direction. And the last thing that I see that grace gave the son was grace gave the son the fatted calf. And two things I pull from that. There's so much revelation here I don't have time to get to, but two things we pull from that is, number one, grace gave him a new appetite. Son, I know you've been consuming these things, but now that you're back home, I'm gonna give you a new appetite. And the only thing you're going to hunger for more of me, for things that come from me. You're going to hunger for the faith. You're going to hunger for grace. You're going to hunger for my love, for my presence, for my word. Is anybody grateful that God can give you new appetites? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I release that in this place. there's been unholy appetites, I release a godly appetites. Hallelujah. Come on, church. You begin to receive and help me pray. So, Father, we thank you for godly appetites being released, Father, that we would be hungry for your word, that we would be hungry for your presence, that we would be hungry for your plan and your purpose for our lives, that we would be hungry to see you move in people's lives like never before. We thank you for new appetites in Jesus' name. And the last thing that I pull from this is the Bible says that they killed the fatted calf, and the Bible says they celebrated. They celebrated that the son that was lost was now home. And here's what the Lord said to me. He said, tell them that grace can give them a brand new celebration. Some of us have not been able to celebrate lately. It's been tough. It's been difficult. And God says, by grace and through faith, there's coming a brand new celebration in your life. Hallelujah. Where we're celebrating the good things that God has done in our lives. We're no longer magnifying what the devil has done, but we are celebrating what God has done in our lives. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, there are those here that haven't had the joy, haven't had the celebration, haven't had the joy of their salvation. Father, we release fresh and new celebration that can only come from your grace and from your presence. God, I see couples at home weeping. Not weeping because it's so bad, but weeping almost tears of joy and shock at how quickly you turned the whole thing around. Hallelujah. I see families sitting at home as a family sitting around the living room talking about that they've come out of deception and now they know they want to pursue God together as a family unit. Because there will be new celebration, says the Lord. There will be new celebration in your car on the way to work. Those things that have been binding your mind will no longer be there. And you'll remember, oh yes, by grace I have a new celebration. There'll be people at work wondering, why in the world am I no longer sad? Why in the world do I no longer think about having that addiction? It's going to be because the Lord's given you a new celebration and a new lease on life. You're going to understand that the grace of God gave you that job. The grace of God opened that door. The grace of God got you to where you stand. You stand where you stand by the grace of God. God says, get ready. There's going to be unmeasured outpourings of my grace. Hallelujah. New celebration is coming. By grace and through faith, in Jesus' name, Jesus' name. Come on, if you'll do me a favor, you just lift your hands to him. Jesus is grace. The person of Jesus is grace. Whew, there's his presence right there, man. Just receive from his grace right now, from his presence. The person of Jesus' grace. He comes up to the woman caught in the act of adultery. And the Bible says every one of his accusers left one by one until she was with Jesus alone. She was with Jesus alone. Grace got rid of all of her accusers. And I hear the Lord say, grace has gotten rid of every one of your accusers until you stand with Jesus alone. And he says, neither do I condemn you. Now go and sin no more. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We're going to sing this song together, and I believe there's going to be fresh grace being released from the presence of the Lord. You let the team worship and you begin to worship with them. If you'll just lift your hands and let's worship
fresh
together.
Fresh
outpouring of his grace.
Tear the fabric open. Come, Jesus, come. Breath of heaven, nothing left unshaken. We long for more, fresh outpouring, fresh outpouring. Tear the fabric open. Come, Jesus, come. Grace on our lives.
fresh grace being released. I see by the Holy Spirit grace that will bring healing, grace that will bring relationship restoration, grace that will bring healing to minds that have been fettered by satanic chains, grace that will bring healing internally to emotions that have been scarred. I saw them being released from heaven, coming and resting upon many of you in this place. It's what I see by the Spirit. Grace endowments coming and being released to you who are in faith. So right now, if that bears witness with your heart and you want to release your faith, just lift your hands to Him. And so, Father, right now, hallelujah, whew, we receive by faith endowments of your grace, Jesus. Whew. Mental graces, emotional graces to overcome, physical graces to be healed in Jesus. I even hear the Lord say financial graces being released right now in Jesus' name. I'm telling you, I'm seeing them come right now. I am seeing them come right now. You receive that by faith. This is not a spectator thing. This is something you got to connect with your holy, with the Holy Spirit. You got to connect by faith with your spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Sing that one more time. Come on, come on. Just stay right there.
We need a fresh outpouring.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Unleash a fresh outpouring now.
Oh,
we need a fresh outpouring. Fresh, unleash a fresh outpouring.
One more time.
Oh. We need a fresh outpouring. Unleash a fresh outpouring.
We receive from your grace. Somebody who needs a turnaround. I think what I'm hearing is within just a few weeks, you need a supernatural turnaround. Whew. My. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If that's you, lift your hand. Whew. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Whew. Jesus. Whew. Ooh, Jesus. I just sensed something hit me. And the Lord said, now you release that in Jesus' name. I release that grace to every person that raised their hands that needs a supernatural turnaround in the next few weeks. Be released in Jesus' name. And so, Father, we speak according to your word that you turn mourning into dancing. And I prophesy a supernatural turnaround in the name of Jesus. And Jesus, you'll receive all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor for it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. One more time, lift your hands to him. This is because of him. Whew. Hallelujah. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You say, what are you waiting for? The Bible says, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, shall mount up on wings as eagles, shall run and not grow weary, shall walk and not faint. I just heard the Lord say, grace seals the deal. Grace seals the deal. And so, Father, we call it done. Whatever those situations were or have been, we call it done and finished by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we give you all the praise and all the glory for it. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen.
This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.